the sports teams that exist. Certain countries have a big one or two, but we're proud to say our podcast is about the biggest team in the entire world.
And the only thing else I got to say is, how about them Cowboys? Yeah!
This is the World's Team Podcast. All about the world's team, the Dallas Cowboys, baby. We're here to redefine what it means to be a fan of the gridiron game. It's not just America's team anymore. Nope. We're taking that star-studded pride and spreading it across the globe. Each week, we dive into all things Cowboys. From game analysis that'll have you on the edge of your seat, to reactions and all the latest news. Whether it's free agency frenzy, draft day drama, or injury reports that make us want to hug our lucky jerseys a little tighter. We're bringing in fan groups from all over the place, from Germany, France, Brazil, the UK, Canada, Japan. Everybody gets to share their two cents on America's favorite team.
And here we go, here we go.
America's team, Mexico's team, world's team.
What's up, Cowboys Nation? Welcome to another episode of the World's Team. Remember, it's not just America's team, it's the World's Team. I am your host, Paul Stewart, and I am joined, as always, you can find him on bloggingtheboys.com. It's no other than my brother-in-arms, Mr. Mike Boland. How are we doing, brother?
Yes, hola. How are we? It's another beautiful weekend. Can't complain. Getting a little bit closer to the draft, so things are starting to pick up pace. Pro days are happening, workouts, 30 visits are coming in. It's all happening. Love it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Man, like, I don't know about you, mate, but I'm getting more antsy. Like, not antsy, like, I'm getting the spider senses tingling when it comes to the NFL draft. But I will say, though, we're seeing some really silly season mock drafts from NFL analysts out there. We really are. Like Mel Kiper, for example. Goodness gracious me. I don't know what the hell he's thinking. And the CBS Sports one, I don't know where to begin with that. So just for context for all of our listeners and viewers, CBS Sports did a mock draft the other week there. And basically, they had the Dallas Cowboys trading up to number 4, picking Travis Hunter. Don't get me wrong, fantastic player. Probably one of the best players in this year's draft. But to move up from 12 to 4, it's not going to happen. I will tell you that. It's not going to happen. You would have to give up multiple years of first-round draft picks to even consider doing a move like that. So, but yeah, Mike, give me your thoughts about the silly mock drafts before we move into the more news and stuff like that.
I mean, like, it's like this, that all the silly move mock drafts, I think they actually tell a story in terms of when you look at them and you think, this is unbelievable, this is daft. It's not a bad thing in terms of that you know that it's daft, which means that you're fine-tuning that, like, that knowledge of value on players. So you go, they're never going to go that far up. So then all of a sudden you step back and you think to yourself, oh, wait a minute. I did kind of learn something from it. The fact that it's so ridiculous and so stupid tells me I'm working my way into this draft class. That I'm starting to understand it better because I know that this move is just so ridiculous.
Yeah, like, and obviously, like, we can talk about, like, say, Shadur Sanders, like, who's now being paused. He's more likely, in terms of, like, proper grading, he is pretty much your day two guy now. But because of the desperate need of quarterback of some teams in the first top 7 picks, he will likely get picked in that scenario. So either way you may think about it, it could be a bit of an overstretch in some regard to other teams, but every team grades players completely different. Remember when the Cowboys drafted CD Lamb? Like, We were very lucky to have CeeDee Lamb there because they had him as the number one wide receiver in that year draft. And when you look at all the other wide receivers that were picked before him, one went to jail for who was the Oakland Raiders, and what was the one that went to Denver? What's his name? Can't recall. But either way,
the Alabama guy. I've forgotten his name myself.
Yeah. Basically, the two wide receivers have not made an impact in comparison to CeeDee Lamb. That's what I'm basically trying to say. Dallas made their due diligence and actually got really lucky getting Lamb at the right place at the right time. So, who knows? We might actually be in this same scenario once again in this year's draft, mate. We might be.
You know, you can never predict these things. You know, that's what they...
That's very true, mate. That's very true, because we never predicted the Atlanta Falcons picking Michael Penix Jr. No one expected that. So you may expect some, what the hell was that? Like...
There's always these wild swings. And it only takes one or two teams to go, and then all of a sudden you have this complete tumble and everybody's, you know, predict the draft and all the rest of it goes out the window because teams are just doing completely opposite of what you're predicting. And it just takes one or two moves moves and the whole thing tumbles.
Yeah, I mean, looking at the whole grading system, how PFF does things, how other, like... PFN, the Pro Football Network, NFL.com, grade stuff. Like, it's all up and down. Like, we're seeing, like, so Jackson Dart getting drafted in the first round by the Saints. Like, that, they're like, huh? What? Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I know there's a desperate need for quarterback, but with the Saints, I know Derek Carr wants to go out, etc. But come on now. Like, because it's like you're going, what you're saying, like we're getting a better understanding where we see players as they see fit in terms of where the projection is supposed to go. And I think with what all the mock drafts that we've done, and we will be doing mock draft version 2, the official World's Team mock draft version 2 very soon. Probably maybe that next week or the week after. So stay tuned for that, folks. But let's move on though, Mike. We've got some news to talk about today. So, first of all, when it comes to the news, Brandon Cooks he's no longer a Cowboy, but he is re-signed with a team I just mentioned there, the New Orleans Saints. He's back at New Orleans.
Yeah, sad to see him go. He's just one of these guys that the NFL knows he's a good player, but nobody can seem to keep him around. And it's not like he's wildly expensive or underproductive. He's just one of those enigmas in the NFL where you ask anybody, you go, Brandon Cooks, yeah, good player. And they're like, yeah.
He's got a lot of consistent 1,000-yard seasons. Maybe not so much with us, but when you look at his whole career, every team he's been at, maybe par from Dallas, he's been very successful. But the problem is, when it comes to the end of the deal, they're not willing to pay the big bucks, so they'll just let him go. That seems to be the most logical reason behind that. But I wish Brandon Cooks all the best. Unfortunately, things didn't really turn out we hoped for with Brandon being in Dallas. There was a lot of high expectation with it, with the pedigree that he did bring, all the 1,000-yard seasons. But it kind of now leads on to another player for the Dallas Cowboys, who currently is here, is Micah Parsons. There's been a lot of speculation. We've had family members of Micah Parsons speaking about it. The negotiations for his new contract is currently ongoing. So we're hoping we'll get Micah Parsons re-signed to a brand new contract before the end of the season. Start of the season. Oh, my goodness. I do apologize, ladies and gentlemen. So discussions between Micah Parsons, his agent, and the Dallas Cowboys are currently ongoing to come up with a new deal. So, and that has been confirmed by Terrence Parsons, it was his uncle, I believe.
Something like that, yeah. One of his family members, yeah.
One of his family members confirmed it, and it's now being confirmed from multiple outlets and journalists out there all across Dallas and from mainstream media. they've all confirmed that as well. So the deal is going to be happening soon. They hope to try and negotiate an agreement from both parties where Parsons is happy and the Cowboys are happy. So hopefully it'll be sooner rather than later, because we don't want to be leaving it to the last minute and overcompensate. We don't want to be doing that. So,
but
give me your thoughts, Mike.
I mean, like, for all the people who say we shouldn't sign Micah Parsons, is we've seen what this defense looks like last season without Micah Parsons in there. Then you've seen what it was like when he returned, and the defense is vastly different. And not only that, go on, Paul.
I'm glad that you mentioned that. And this is, as much as I loved DeMarcus Lawrence, I loved DeMarcus Lawrence when he was a Cowboy, but you notice when, this is where the whole comment from D-Law, it's like, when he's talking about, oh, should focus more about winning games, etc. I was like, I'm sorry, but when Parsons was in the team, we had a better chance of winning the games. So how does that impact you when you're actually being on this roster? You're not pulling your weight as much per se, if that's the case. So, I love DeMarcus Lawrence, but I just thought that comment with Micah, and don't get me wrong, Micah has done some silly stuff as well. And just in case anyone's wondering, Mike's kids are roaming about the house, so there may be a couple of interruptions in this show, so it's all good.
It's all right. She's busy. She's off doing her own thing now.
but you know what I mean, though, Mike? It just kind of feels like, the tit for tat. I'm just like, ugh.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah. I just think Micah Parsons is your best player on this team. And I just think that you can't let a guy like Micah go. No. I know it's going to be expensive, and I know it's going to hurt Cowboys fans when they see the numbers, because he's going to get paid a lot. Whether, you know, you hear a lot of things Micah saying, oh, I'm not after being the most expensive player at the position, but he will be. He will be.
It's not really down to him. It's more down to his agent, more than anything.
What they can negotiate, I mean,
just let's remember the whole Todd Franz, Dak Prescott scenario, trying to get his new contract re-signed like 4 or 5 years ago. We had to put him on a franchise tag because we couldn't negotiate a deal because Todd Franz was being so stirred about the demands of what he wanted for Dak Prescott, and that's why you have your agents, essentially.
That's what they're there for. They're there to get you as much money as you can get.
Hopefully we will hear some news about Micah Parsons. It might happen later today. We don't know. It might be next week. Who knows? Yeah.
But could be during training camp, which is usually where it happens.
Probably. Yeah. Getting more, like sitting down more one-on-one right after a training session without the agent, like kind of sneaky that way, you know, but hey-ho. So... In other news, there's been a big thank you to Nick Harris, who posted this. He's revealed all the Dallas visits for Dallas Day from different schools and Dallas-born college football players from all across the country. So players from like the TCU, North Texas, and players all across the U.S. like who are originally from Dallas are playing from that area are going to the Dallas Day visit. Essentially, but hit me with it, mate. Hit me out with some names that we should be focusing on.
All right, but you mentioned one guy's name who's actually coming in, which is Shedeur Sanders. So, okay, we got Sanders, Ashton Jeanty, he's coming in. We've got other quarterbacks on the list as well, which is Quinn Ewers. Kind of, we knew that was going to happen. Yeah. That was kind of already, you know, not already, but always in the books. Ollie Gordon from Oklahoma State. We like Ollie.
We do like Ollie Gordon a lot. Yep.
I reckon if they took him in day three, I wouldn't be upset. I'd quite enjoy
that. I'd be quite happy. Yeah. I would bring a whole different dynamic to our running back core for sure. Like, and I think that's the interesting thing, Mike. Like, from what Schottenheimer said from day one of his press conference, what he's looking to do in terms of establish the run game and the players he's already brought in from Williams and Sanders, Miles Sanders.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
But like somewhat similar in some regard, they're running backs, but they can also catch the ball. So would that play into effect of looking for a similar running back going into this year's draft also? So there's a lot you could think about in that regard. And yeah, I mean, we could go into that whole different conversation, but we'll leave that. But yeah, continue on, mate. Hit me up with some more names out there.
Yeah. I mean, these aren't on Texas teams. These are the natives that we're doing. Yeah. We'll go through the guys on the teams like North Texas and everything in a moment. But yeah, you've got Damian Martinez, running back from Miami.
I like him as well.
Yeah. There's another Miami guy as well is Elijah Ario, the tight end.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah, and this is where it gets more interesting for me. It's the offensive lineman. So you've got Cameron Williams from Texas, Caleb Rogers, Texas Tech, and you've
got Jake Majors.
Yes, and you've got Chase Lund from UConn.
Yeah, like he was supposed to be in last year's draft, but he kind of like pulled out and focused and spent one more year in college with UConn.
Yes,
he could be a valuable option as well, like on day three.
Yeah. Another guy who I quite like, that sort of very good run stuffing defensive tackle from Texas A&M, Shamar Turner, not Stewart.
I don't know what it is. I'm sorry, mate, but I'm just not feeling Shamar Turner at all. I just don't know why.
I like him.
I'm just, I think there's much more. I prefer Alfred Collins, if I'm being perfectly honest.
I get it. Yeah. No, it's fine. I tell you, a guy who we have talked about before, we actually drafted him in the mock draft, is cornerback Jabbar Muhammad from Oregon. That's an interesting. Billy Bowman, the safety from Oklahoma.
That would be a very underrated pick. That would be day three. If he's there in day three, end of day two or early day three, and we get him, I think that'd be a very underrated pick.
Yeah. I mean, other safeties, RJ Mickens from Clemson. We like him. We've spoken about him before.
Yeah, he's definitely a day three guy though.
Oh, yeah. These are all day threes. So you got Craig Woodson, somebody who we spoke about off air a moment ago, is cornerback Seth Hennigan from Memphis.
Yes. Seth Hennigan from Memphis. So he potentially could be, like, no one's really talked about this quarterback. So go and watch the film. Like, and let me actually bring up his stats, actually. I might as well do it, like, so we can actually provide you what he's been doing. So give me one moment. But yeah, but while I'm doing that, mate, tell me more about him from your end, what you like about him.
Seth Hennigan. So I've actually done, I've got an article coming out with Blogging the Boys, and it's backup quarterbacks the Cowboys should take. And literally the last guy, the very, very last guy on my list is Seth Hennigan. He's an undrafted. He would be listed in terms of value as an undrafted free agent because, I mean, essentially, some of the skills you see do put him as an undrafted. But the Cowboys have now pick 247. I think that's right, 247. Which really is one of the last picks of the draft. So if the Cowboys decided, we need a quarterback, all these other guys have gone, like, say, Rourke has gone and all the rest of it. Brady Kirk.
Brady Kirk, Curtis Rourke. What's the Syracuse quarterback's name?
Syracuse.
No, it's not McCoy, is it?
No. Hold on, I'll get it now.
Kyle McCord.
Yeah.
Tyler Schlue from Louisville, Max Brosmer from Minnesota.
I like Hennigan. He's efficient. He's productive. And like when you look, he's got consistency and experience. And when you get this far into the day three, you're just trying to tick boxes, essentially. And he ticks a lot of boxes. There's work to be done with him. Mechanical issues are a problem with him, which is why you'll find him this far down. But that's why you have a quarterback coach to help coach on the mechanics.
Exactly. So I've got his statistics right here. So and so this is all powered down to like a PA, PFF regards to that. So 2022, just over 3,500 yards. 2023 last year, 3,800 plus yards. And again, last year, 3,500 plus yards. So there's a level of consistency when it comes to passing yards. In terms of touchdowns, very similar. Obviously, his best year was last year in 2023. Not last year, but two seasons ago, technically, because we're now in 2025, but you get what I mean. Yeah. So in 2022, it was 22 touchdowns. 2023, 32 touchdowns. And last year, 2024, was 25 touchdowns. And every one of those seasons, he's managed to keep under 10 under interceptions, with last year being his best, keeping it down to 6. Yeah. And his passer rating is pretty much near enough in the same margin, 97.3, 106.3, and 98.9. And yeah, it seems to be like his completion rate is all in the like 65% on average. So, I mean, for a backup quarterback, that's what you're kind of looking for.
It's ticking boxes.
Yeah, it ticks all the boxes. And I think that would be like, and he's been given a really massive deep grade of 93.5, so that would be quite good in terms of like if he was to come into the play, at least like we can throw the deep ball. If we're just, I'm being hypothetical here. If we were to draft like a Tet McMillan, that would be something. So,
yeah, he's an interesting quarterback, I like him. I like it in terms of what he can provide your team. And you think if he was to come in here, he would push to be your backup quarterback. He would be.
And I think like for likes of Hennigan, he knows himself, like he's not going to be a starter. So he needs to, like, he knows what he needs to work on. So, and I think that's a lot with some of these quarterbacks. They're not going to get thrown into the lions then. They're going to be there learning, try and perfect their craft, learn new techniques, perfect, like really work on their game. And the likes of like your quarterbacks like Seth Hennigan, Curtis Rohr, Brady Cook, like this is an opportunity for them to actually really take it up to the next level. And maybe the year after, can they actually challenge for a QB spot, at some, whether it's with the team they're at, or maybe to trade and go somewhere else. So that's the whole point. So, but yeah, but that's Seth Hennigan, folks. Be sure to go and check him out.
Yeah. Other names on the Dallas Day as well. Wide receivers. So Sakari Franklin, that's an interesting one. Mm-hmm. And then lesser names, Andrew Armstrong from Arkansas. Now he's an interesting one, right? He will go undrafted, but Dallas will get a good look at this guy. He actually last season, believe it or not, led the SEC in receptions, receiving yards, and yards per game.
Not only just that, we'll have more inside knowledge because of John Stephen Jones.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, in case anyone's not referring to who I'm talking about Stephen Jones, our basically
VP.
VP. His son was the quarterback for Arkansas for a couple of years. So he obviously knows very thing well about Andrew Armstrong. So we can probably get as much scoop about him, all the pros, all the cons.
Yeah.
That could be it's all about networking, pretty much.
So, well, why he's going undrafted is that he's only scored, I believe it's like 5 touchdowns in the last 2 years. It's not a lot. Doesn't score a lot. But, you know, for me, I look at that and I say, so let's look at the Arkansas offense. How was it in general? Armstrong produced, he's got 2 1,000-yard seasons in the 3 years he was in college. One he just missed out on. I think it was like 860 yards his second year. So he's not a bad player. The other wide receivers are guys I know a little less about. Money Parks from Utah, Blaine Taylor as well. Isaiah Naylor from Nebraska, I know a little bit on. I've watched some tape on him from just watching other players at Nebraska. But obviously, we've already mentioned Shedeur Sanders is coming in. That means his younger brother, Shiloh Sanders, is coming in. I know people talk about, you know, because he's a Sanders boy, like everything else. He's an undrafted guy. He's an undrafted safety. And yeah. You won't convince me any other way.
Yeah, yeah. So that's that. Obviously, we're still, we're still awaiting for the actual, the official 30-day visit confirmations of players. And if history repeats itself, the 30-day visits is massive for the Cowboys. Oh,
yeah.
That will give you a good indication of what we're going to do. That's the main picks that we're very focused on. So if we see the likes of, I don't know, like Caleb Johnson from Iowa or Tet McMillan, the right receiver from Arizona, rest assured they're very interested in these guys.
Yeah.
So like Amarian Hampton, like running back, even though in terms of the offensive lineman, like if I see like you know who my favorite player in this draft is, Wyatt Millham, right? If he's there in the 30-day visit, I'm gonna lose my mind. Like, because that's a good indicator for Dallas to really put it, like pull the trigger and try and get him, if that's the case.
Yeah.
So, but we'll just need to wait and see, folks. But yes.
I got one thing to add on the Dallas Day talkatives, if you like, because it's obviously still all, we're still waiting on all the teams to, so we know with TCU, we know SMU, but there's North Texas, which is your team.
Yeah.
So, I mean, do you want to talk about those guys? Yeah, do you want to talk about those guys? Because, I mean, you know a bit more about them than I will. North, you know, the Mean Green isn't a team I'm particularly clued up on.
Yeah, it's more so just on one player in particular, and that's a wide receiver, Damon Ward Jr. That's the guy I quite like.
Nice.
Like, he's a bit of a speed freak, in my personal opinion. Like, he still has a lot to work on, but for what he did for likes of North Texas, I know they didn't have the best of seasons, but I this is the type of wide receiver I quite like, and I think he'd be quite good to help with any depth issues within the Cowboys as well. And would be a good, valuable option for someone that's actually on the practice squad to come back up, etc. I think that would be a good option there. So maybe someone like, who knows? Like, I mean, funny enough, there is a linebacker for North Texas called Jalen Smith. Completely a different style of linebacker, but other than that,
does he play with number 9 or 56?
I couldn't remember if I told you, mate. I can't remember.
That would have been even crazier if it would be like, no.
But defensive lineman Jake Shipley, I do like him as well. The only problem is he gets too upright a fair bit on the line of scrimmage. That's the only thing that, like, from when I was at the game last year there, North Texas versus East Carolina. North Texas did lose that game, but I did quite enjoy watching Jake Shipley play in that game, but I did notice when I was watching the game, Shipley was kind of like getting too upright in terms of the pass rush, and he was getting caught out a little bit. So stuff like that can be easily be fixed given the right coaching staff. So that's my take on North Texas. Like, you wouldn't expect any of these players to be drafted or in the, like, last rounds. So unfortunately for these guys, because this type of school they come from and with the coaching they've got there, they're going to be either undrafted or become, if they do it'll be practice squad, etc. Yeah. So it's just something just to keep bear in mind, folks. So, but yeah.
We've always got to watch that undrafted free agent pool. They can sometimes be your stars, you know, they rise
Holy
up.
Romo.
There you go. You know, we're no stranger to it all, you know, with the Cowboys. I mean, but going off the other teams, SMU, TCU, I think for me, Rashad Smith, the running back from SMU, is interesting. And TCU wide receiver Jack Beck. They're really, all the others, I'm kind of like, but they're my main two, really.
Yeah, Jack Beck and Savion Williams, like, that's Savion the big... Williams,
yeah.
Yeah, those two wide receivers are the big standouts. Whether that will play a factor because our offensive line coach was also kind of what offensive coordinator, he knows fine well the ability of these guys, so that's something to consider as well. These could be, like, day two guys for all we know, so just bear in mind that with that, folks. Look at the coaches that Schottenheimer's brought on board. They will have their knowledge of certain players that they have worked with in the past in college. They might want and think that would actually bring quality to this football team. So be sure to go and check that out. But anyway, we've kind of finished this week's show. It is what it is. Oh,
sorry. Don't worry.
A little bit of Super Mario there.
yeah, not that off. Don't worry.
Yeah, but yes, we're actually going to have a wee small short show this week. But we figured we finish this week off with some Would You Rathers.
Yeah,
because obviously Would You Rathers has been a very popular segment in the show when it comes to during the season.
Yes,
but why not do it for the draft? It makes sense.
Yeah, I'll try and do some of these every week for you. I'll pop a couple in so you get the juices flowing.
Absolutely. So, well, as always, Mike, hit me with it with your Would You Rather.
Yeah, and obviously, guys, everyone listening at home, put it in the comments on YouTube, Spotify, wherever you're watching this. Let us know what you would choose in these Would You Rather. So the first one, Paul, would you rather in the first round of pick number 12, cornerback Michigan Will Johnson or wide receiver Arizona Tech McMillan?
It's obvious, right? Come on, Tech McMillan. Come on.
Ooh. Yeah, he's my
guy. I'm sorry. If Tech McMillan's there at 12, you take him. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I agree. Don't get me wrong. I like Will Johnson. I mean, there's no wrong answer here, but I would rather give Dak more ability to actually make plays other than just CD Lamb and give him possibly the best wide receiver in this year's draft class.
Yeah. I mean, wide receiver 2 is a need. We've got a bunch. We've got CD Lamb, who's a clear wide receiver 1. We then have a massive pool of these wide receivers 3s. Like, when you look at them all, I look at all those other wide receivers and you kind of like go, who stands out as a wide receiver? Who could push for it? And you look at it, you go, nah, they're all just wide receiver 3s to me. And the added problem you've got, which we saw last season, CD Lamb goes out. What was the offensive plan? It went out the window.
It was out the window.
Yeah, we have no backup for when CD Lamb gets injured or has to miss time.
Yeah. But yeah, folks, let us know what you think. Would you rather Will Johnson from Michigan, the cornerback, or Tet McMillan, the wide receiver from Arizona? So like Mike said, hit us in the comments, hit us up on social media, let us know what you think. But yeah, hit me with the next one, man.
Yeah. We've got 3 to play with, so we could do the next one. This is going down the running back road now, right?
This is going to spark controversy.
Yeah. So put this one in the comments. And I'm not saying with this one, this is a pick 12. This is at any point during the draft, right? This is just in a vacuum, thinking about, like, say, round 1, round 2, and round 3. In terms of value, okay? So, would you draft Ashton Jeanty, Amario Hampton, or Cam Scatterbull for the Dallas Cowboys? Let's call that round 1, round 2, round 3.
If Hampton's there at round 2, I take him 100%. If Jeanty's there and Tet McMillan's there at the same time, I take Tet McMillan. I'm sorry, I'm passing on Jeanty. I know that's controversial. I know that is. But when you look at how this year's running back draft class is, this is probably the best draft class of running backs it's been for well over a decade. Yep. Well over that. Mm-hmm. You're spoiled for choice in this year.
Yeah.
So if it was me, I would pick Amarian Hampton, if I'm being perfectly honest. Yeah. And that means to say, like, I know there's been a lot of mock drafts that Hampton is getting picked at 12, which I think is a bit of an overreach in some regard. Like, because obviously I think he will be gone. Like, he might be a late first round pick, depending on some teams.
Yeah. He won't be there at 44.
No, definitely not. Something mental would have to happen if he was to be there at 44. Something crazy. But what I will say, though, Mike, what if there's an opportunity, just one opportunity, for the Cowboys to move back into the first round to get Hampton? No one's talked about that. Okay. Everyone talks about trading back with the first round. But no one's talking about with the second round pick moving up.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the reason I'm saying, Chris, all you need to do is swap your second rounds and provide them a second round for next year. That equates to a fair trade.
And you're
literally getting your star running back for the next 4 or 5 years. What more can you ask for? I would make that trade 100%.
Good work out. But I'm with you. I'm taking Hampton all day. At 12, this is the problem for me with Ashton Gentry, is I feel that the talent pool of running backs reduces Gentry's value. If this running back was like, say, a couple of years ago.
Yeah, with, what's his name, that went to the Falcons? Bijan Robinson.
Yeah, yeah, Bijan Robinson, where you had a very clear, like,
number one.
Number one. Then you had like he was in the first, I don't know what you want to call it, the first class of running back. Then you had a bunch in the next class, and then there was another shelf, and you were coming down again.
He was in the same draft class as Bucky Irvin, wasn't he? Or was that the year after? I can't remember.
Yeah, that was Bucky Irvin was last year.
Ah, right. Okay, right. I'm sorry, because there is levels, but whereas, even though some of these running backs are graded maybe third round, fourth round, but when you look at their production with the teams that they've worked with, like their college teams through their career in college, it's like a lot of these guys are really good. Really good. Like I mentioned before, Caleb Johnson is one of my favorite guys. I would love to have him. Like, I know one of the other options in the Would You Rather is Cam Scarborough.
Ooh,
I mean,
great guy.
I wouldn't mind him also. But the problem with, I wouldn't say the problem with Scarborough, it's more so like it's the fit.
That is the problem.
But the good thing about Scarborough is he can catch the ball, which is something that Schottenheimer's looking for.
He could throw the ball too.
Yeah, well, there you go. A little bit of diversity there. So so there's that. So, but yeah, I'm all for Amarian Hampton in this one. But folks, let us know in the comments once again, who would you pick? Gentry, Hampton, or Scarborough?
All right, I got the last one for you then, and then you can wrap it up. This is a pure defensive one in day two, right?
All right. These are your choices. So this is day two, so second round, third round, whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Whatever you want to do, you can pick these. So in day two, would you rather have or draft Alfred Collins, Darian Porter, Iowa State, fantastic. Like third, I think he ran.
He had a great combine, really good combine. Yeah,
it was a 4.32. I think he ran and had a 10-yard split of 1.49. That's moving.
That's what you want. That's what you want from your corners, though. That's what you want.
Exactly what I wrote on my scout report. That is exactly what I wrote. Cornerbacks need to be your most athletic guy on the field. Last season, here's an interesting stat. Last season, on of all the cornerbacks in college that had 200 coverage snaps or more, Darian Porter allowed the lowest passer rating of 4.7. That's allowing nothing.
See, that's the thing, though, mate. Like, this is where I get a little bit concerned in terms of gradings and some players. Like, if Porter has done all that work, why is he graded so low?
Yeah.
Shouldn't he be more pushing towards near enough the first round, all that type of stuff? So this is where the whole confusion begins when it comes to doing mock drafts, I think.
Yeah, Porter for me is like, he's up there. He's right below Trey Amos. And like, I know you like him, Siobhan Revel.
I got to see him play. He tore North Texas up badly in that game. I think he actually got a couple of interceptions in that game, I believe. But he is good. But the problem with Chevelle is injuries. That's the problem.
And that's my point with Darian Porter, is that so Porter's given you this he's shown you, he's proven to you, yet people have got a guy who missed literally, he played like what, 5 or 6 games and missed the rest of the season. And you've got him ranked above Porter. I'm like, nah, I'm sorry. I'm going to take the guy who's got the less injuries. Anyway, back to this question. Alfred Collins, what a tangent. Alfred Collins, defensive tackle, Texas. Quarterback Darian Porter, Iowa State. Or linebacker Carson Schweisinger.
Schweisinger.
There we go.
No, Gurr. Schweisinger. Well, you got me saying it now. My God, Mike. apologies, Carson, if you ever do see that show. Please tell us if we pronounce your name correctly. I do apologize. But all three of them, really good options. Day two for Carson might be a bit, second round, sorry, let me rephrase that. As a second round pick, as our third round pick, I would be on top of that if he's there, 100%. Alfred Collins, to me, is probably the big standout, like, as your second round pick, if that's the best player available. Is a need. Darian Porter, again, like, if those, like, that's the way I'm kind of seeing it. Porter and Collins would be your second round, and, like, if Schweisinger was your third round. But if I was to pick one of those guys, I would pick Darian Porter. We need the more help in the secondary because obviously we don't know the situation with Diggs. We've got Bland, and that's pretty much it in a way. And we've got basically Kalen Carson, and obviously we let go Andrew Booth. Good riddance. I'm sorry, but yes. I think we need more help at cornerback. I think that's actually quite an underlying need for this year's draft. And the problem is with this year's class of cornerbacks, there's not many of them.
Yeah.
It's a big drop off. I think, like, after Trey Amos and Porter, it really dives down after that. It really does.
Yeah, I agree with you. I like Alfred Collins. He fits a role that the Cowboys.
Yeah, I love Alfred Collins as well. I love him as well. But I think he'd be a great addition to this Dallas defensive line. He would bring that different dynamic. He would help with the run stuffing, even as that needed attack in the pass rush, even from the one tech position. I think that would be quite good. But I think in terms of having that more impactful player, in terms of what we could do, I think we can probably get like a Darian Porter in who can actually be there on a day one type of basis.
Yeah. I'm with you. Yeah. But guys, I mean, at home watching, leave in the comments, who's the guy you would take there on defense in day two?
Yep. Alfred Collins, Darian Porter, or Carson Schweisinger. Schweisinger. Oh, my God.
You got it.
Oh, my God. But yes, folks, like we said, it's just going to be a short show this week. We will be back next week. We might do a mock draft. We might have a special. We might have a special guest. We're still working on getting some big ones on here, that's for sure. Just to give a big shout out to our friend Your Guy Next for joining us last week. We had an absolute ball with him coming on to the show. But be sure to go and check him out once again at your_guy_next. He is pretty much the Cowboys king of X spaces in terms of doing
it really is
like he's so good at it, so good at it. So go and check him out on X. He's fantastic. But before we do go, we'll pay off the bills, then we'll say our goodbyes. But like I said before we go, we'll pay the bills, and we'll be back with you in one moment.
The World's Team Podcast is brought to you by Cowboys Experience, the ultimate Cowboys experience with stadium tours, meet and greets, tailgating, game tickets, and much more. For more information, please go to www.cowboysexperience.com.
Yeah, be sure to check out cowboysexperience.com. Be sure to use the discount code World's Team 2025, not 24, 25. Because I do need to update the graphic for that still. But It is now. We've got the new discount code. It's all good. So be sure to go and hook up with Barry at Cowboys Experience. They will treat you like absolute royalty. And obviously, me and Mike, we're going to be there for Thanksgiving this year, which is going to be massive, along with the fellow UK Cowboys fans. As you can see there on Mike's screen, there's the flag. Yep. So, and I believe there's going to be at least 16 people going this year, for all from the UK. We're coming in big numbers this year. So
we could have five more.
We've got five more, so we're up to nearly enough to 21. Wow.
Over 20, yeah, we're around about 20. You imagine one or two may drop out, but they've said, like, that I'll join there, but I'll have to pay later down the line. It's like, fine, whatever you want to do.
If you want to be part of it, be sure to contact Cowboys Experience. They will send you all the details for the Thanksgiving package that we're going to be part of. And and it would be great to meet all of you, because we're going to be at the Cowboys meet and greet that week, meet all the players. We're going to be doing some interviews with the people at the event, talk about the world, talk about the world's team, what they think about, like, the Dallas Cowboys in general, the season, etc. We're going to be doing a lot when we're over there. So
interviewing players too?
We've got some big announcements for that one for sure. So, and just while we're doing that, we're going to announce it while we're in Dallas. It's going to be more of a live stream of the interviews as well. So it's not going to be pre-recorded. It's going to be live. So if you want to come in and join in the conversation, you can do it on the chat. If there's some really good questions you want to ask, we will check the chat and we can ask these players these questions. So be sure to go and check it out. But more planning that in the future, we'll give you more details, what's going to be happening, etc. But yeah, Mike, that is the end of this show. But before we do go, Mike, please tell everyone where everyone can find you and your work.
You can find me on Twitter or X at Kenford Cowboy. That's Kenford with a K, Cowboy with a K. Or find it all on Blogging the Boys. And where can they find you, Mr. P?
You can find me at IMPStu on X and Instagram. But yes, folks, this is the end of this week's show. We will be back next week for episode 38. And we might, like I said, we might do a mock draft. We might have a special guest. Just need to wait and see what happens. But as always, folks, stay safe out there. Go Cowboys. And just remember, it's not just America's team. It is the world's team. See you guys next week.
You've been listening to the World's Team Podcast. There's no other team like it in the world. Nothing more electrifying than the Dallas Cowboys. And we're here to prove it. We bring in fan groups from Germany, France, Brazil, the UK, Canada, Japan. We're everywhere, baby. We hope you've enjoyed the show. If you did, make sure to like, rate, and review. We'll be back soon. But in the meantime, find us on Instagram at the.worlds.team. On Twitter at the_worlds_team. And on YouTube at the World's Team. How about them Cowboys?
And the only thing else I got to say is, how about them Cowboys? Yeah!
See you next time.